I'm Bruce Van Dyke. It's the WEOL Morning Show. And we're happy to have on the line with us this morning award-winning Christian mystery writer, Judy Kelly. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
So what kind of a genre is Christian mystery? How did you fall into that particular writing?
Scott? I think it was by accident. I just wrote a story. It happens to be a Christian story, and there's something mysterious about it. I think people think of it as a mystery because one of the ways that you can open with the story is by through a question. And I didn't write out the question. I have a question kind of in the air there. And so it encourages people to read on, and they think of it as a mystery because it's this mysterious question that they're looking for an answer for in the novel.
I mean, sometimes in religion there is mystery in it, in a sense, to determine, you know, what do I believe? What should I understand to be true? That type of a thing, so...
Well, I think so. Yes. So the more you read, you're going to match things up with what you believe in, and try to get some answers to that. And so it's a mystery in that sense too, I guess.
Let's look at your new latest novel called Blessings and Curses. This follows a young woman who is in the seminary, working to be or deciding to become a priest, or maybe not, depending on how you look at this. Take her to how we set the story up for then.
Well, she wanted to be a priest, but from an early age on, she had this what she thought of was a curse over her. A lot of us have secrets, you know, things that we don't want to share with other people, and we don't want to let that out. But she called hers a curse, and so she thought maybe she was not religious or not believing enough. So she entered the seminary, and she actually finished. But when she finished, she realized this curse, this whatever it was she was feeling, was still hovering over her. And she went to her parish priest to let him know that she could not be a priest. And he gave her an assignment because he asked her to remain on the prayer team, and she said yes. So he asked her to go to this prison and talk to this inmate on death row, and perhaps she could find some of the answers to herself that she was looking for. And she did. She stumbled on in talking to him about his life. She stumbled onto something in her past that threatened to uproot her ordinary life, and she was desperately struggling to hold on to her identity and who she was.
When you're an author, you try to do research, I would assume. What kind of research do you do for something like this, for someone in the going through the seminary, or even related to people on death row? What was that like for you?
Well, you have to kind of find out about what you're talking about, so I did. I wanted to know a little bit more about the seminary and how you got into it and how you get out, and, you know, but you have to have, if you're planning to be, anybody can enter the seminary, you can just take courses and that's that. But if you want to be a priest, then you have to have the backing of your parish priest, and in my case, my church, rather, the vestry, and, you know, people write letters. And I had a friend who asked me to write a letter for him, and I did. So people have to recommend you to do that if you want to be a priest. And so I had to find all that out, how all that happens. We can't take a tour, fortunately or unfortunately, of a prison. So, but there are a lot of things online, and there are a lot of pictures online about prisons. And I chose this prison in Virginia. I live in Maryland, and I chose this prison in Virginia because it had a death row. Section, I guess, attached to the prison. And so the description of the prison in the book comes from that picture that I saw. And I did have to visit a prison at one time as a teacher, well, more than one time. As a teacher, you know, sometimes you lose your students, and you have to, or at least I went to see some of them and where they were, and some of them were in juvenile detention, and some were going on to done, you know, major crimes, and were moving on. So it's not very pleasant, I can tell you that.
Well, right, and it's your job in a book like this to sort of be able to describe that or get inside the maybe the minds of the people that are there.
I wanted to know what it would be like to be on death row. I don't know. I just have a desire to find out what's in the minds of other people. And I started when I had to go and test a student who was in juvenile detention. And I remember going in and every time they wouldn't tell you much, you know, that you go in one room and they just grunt a little bit, you know, go here and go there. I had a hard time with that. I like to know why I'm here, what's planning, you know, next for me, where am I going, how long do you think I should be here? You know, just questions like that. But instead of all of that, I was fearful. I felt confined. I wanted to run away. I wanted to get out. The rooms were too small for me. And I just had this strong desire to get out of here. I don't want to test the student. Just never mind. Let somebody else do it. And I thought, wow, is this how it is being in there? And finally, they just sort of pushed me to another room, and I stood there, and I went to, you know, jiggle the door, the bars, and everything, and nothing happened. So I went to the other end, the same thing. And then it's like when they felt like it, they would come and open another door. So I wanted to include that kind of feeling in my novel here, and I did, and I think I did well on that. I also wanted to know, how does it feel when you are on death row and you know you only have 2 weeks to live? And I thought I captured the heart of this man, just a man who was a mean, cruel, vicious man. You can't be nice, you know, to be on death row. And so he was a vicious man. And so we now see a softer side of him. And I wanted to show that. I wanted to show, that people don't always, it's not always like you see on TV, you know. People can have a softer side, especially when they feel like, you know, they may not be going to heaven. So,
what about forgiveness? How does that enter into your book, if at all? Obviously, I would think with some, you know, a priest in there is part of that, and maybe some remorse on the side of the convict.
I think when Olivia meets him, she sees his heart, and she sees this man who is has been trapped all of his life in this horrible world. She sees also that it didn't start with him, that it started with people before him, his mother, when he lived with his mother, and we talked about that in the story too, a horrible incident there. The book has some darkness as well as some, you know, inspiring parts as well. And so she saw all of this, and I think that in life, when we encounter people, you know, we meet somebody and they respond to us in a negative way, it might be a good idea to not respond negatively back. Maybe something is going on with that person. And so Olivia decided to look at his heart and see what he had in his heart. And so that's how the relationship between these two people changed. I've gotten a lot of nice comments about the relationship of the inmate and Olivia, and how they see that, and how they see forgiveness in her. Without saying, "I forgive you," her attitude and her thoughts and her comments to him were, you know, "I forgive you, the world forgives you." And I think he responded to that.
The book is called Blessings and Curses. Our guest today is award-winning Christian mystery writer Judy Kelly. But you weren't always a writer. What took you to that path, or at this point in your life, this is the area that you were doing? Or were you one of those that always had some writing going on, no matter what other occupation you were involved with?
I always had some writing going on, but not a whole lot. When I was teaching in elementary school, I was a teacher who taught students who were learning disabled. And at that time, the method of teaching learning disabled students was the clinical method, which meant that, you know, we played little games to stimulate your thinking and see if you can analyze and synthesize and things like that. And so I looked at the games and I thought, well, I don't understand how they're going to read and write and do math and things like that by playing these games all morning long. So I told the students that I was removing the games, and oh, they just fought me tooth and nail. The one little boy wouldn't let go. He said he would die if I didn't. He couldn't play this game every morning, and so I assured him that he would be alive and that he would even come out better. So I went to the book room and I got all of these books. They were fourth and fifth graders, and I got books for second and third graders. Well, they couldn't read the books. So I decided I would just make up stories for them. And that's what I did. You have to worry about vocabulary, sentence length, and type and all of that. And I tried to include all of that in my stories and everything. So we've been reading about three or four of the stories and answering questions that I made up along with the stories. And I came in one morning, and they were already in the classroom, and they were kind of in an argument, but they were all seated, and you know, nobody was throwing things and pushing it or anything like that. They were just seated and talking back and forth. And so I decided before I'd stop it all, I would listen to see maybe this was good. And they were talking about the characters in the last story, that they read, and where it would go from there. What would I bring in today for them? And so I heard one of them say, well, why would you think that when this happened in the past? And then the others would, you know, chime in with their. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. Are they analyzing? Are they doing these things that the games were supposed to do for them? So, and they were enjoying the stories. And so we were reading one time, and they said, oh, Miss Kelly, these stories sound like the stories you'd buy in a store. Yeah, Miss Kelly, they all said, you should put your stories in a store, in a bookstore. And I started my writing career from that.
Just from all of those, I mean, you obviously had some good critics already, a test group, as it were. So it was inspiring, obviously, not only for them, but for you.
Yes, it did something for me too. I think the comments that they all made, and they all said it. It's not like one person said it and the other, well, maybe not. You know, you got long ways to go yet. And nobody said anything like that. They just said that the stories were like you would find in a bookstore. And I went to the bookstore and I started reading children's books. And I thought, oh, they do sound kind of like that, don't they? So then I just, you know. And they wanted me to bring stories in every day, and I did. And that group, reading level increased, of course, and some of them even got out of the program and just a full time in the general ed class.
Wow! So, do you miss this sort of summertime now, where you'd either take a break from that, or is there a different rhythm to your life once you get out of the teaching realm?
There is a different rhythm. I do miss teaching. I'm teaching at a college now, and but I miss the kids a lot. They're just great people, and so I just miss them. And in the summertime, I try to take a break and do a lot of writing and reading other people's works and trying to grow my writing career.
I looked on here, and it kind of lists you as sort of a bio. It says avid long-distance bicyclist, running.
Yes.
So do you use like a lot of that time to sort of like format your books, or are you out there enjoying the scenery, or is there a whole lot of novel going on in your head at the time?
All of that. I'm enjoying the scenery as a Christian. I'm out there and I'm speaking to my Father in heaven a lot. I'm getting ideas from him and what to put in the book. When you're riding 30 to 60 miles a day, you have a nice time to think of what to do and to talk and to see the scenery and everything.
Better than staring at a blank piece of paper, right? Or a screen that's not doing anything on its own, right?
That's better. It's much better. That's correct. Yeah. And if you have to do that, then there's something wrong. So you need to do research. You need to do something. I don't think that that people like to say that there's a writer's block. I think that the block is that you have to do some research. You have to. It's not that you can't think of anything to say. You could do it if you did. dug a little deeper into whatever your topic is.
Right. Now, are you a disciplined writer from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., or is it when it fits your schedule? How does that work? For people who are looking to write, sometimes they want to know what's the way to get it going.
A lot of people just write, you know, just write. I tend to not do that. It's when I'm writing a short story, when I'm working on a novel, I tend to just focus on that. And I set my time for that. If I've finished all of that and I'm not writing, that's when I'm biking. So I don't always have to write every day. So if I'm I'm working on my next novel now and I'm disciplined about that, I want to have this done by a certain time and that done by a certain time, and so that I can get it finished. A finished product is something that's really good. But I enjoy my characters. I love meeting my characters and interacting with them as I put them on the page. So I think I'm slowed down a little bit because I'm busy enjoying my own characters.
It's great. The book is called Blessings and Curses, the latest one from Judy Kelly. If people want to find out about this book or other things you're up to, where's a good place to get some details on this?
www.judycar.com, my blog. Love a good story.
Well, we appreciate the stories you've told us this morning. We appreciate that. Judy, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you so very much for having me. I enjoyed this part of the conversation also.
Judy Kelly, our guest this morning, Christian mystery writer, joining us again. You can find out more about her book, Blessings and Curses.